Hello, and welcome to another episode of From the Lower Level. I am your host, Patrizio. Moshi is out seeing the Church of the Guadalupe. So she won't be joining us this week, but you have me, and we're going to do all the normal things. Well, we're going to mix it up a little bit this week. We are going to discuss, of course, what the word on the street is. Since Moshi is not here, we're going to talk about my feelings about Real Housewives of Potomac. And, of course, the reason for the season, the Real Housewives of Miami. And I want to give you my hot takes of the week from this week's episodes, because I think there were some really, really great things in there too. So let's kick it off with the word of the street. I think the biggest thing that has come out this week is that Caroline Manzo has officially sued Bravo Production for the sexual harassment that she received on the set of filming Ultimate Girls Trip season 4 in Morocco. Trigger warning about sexual assault here, but essentially in the paperwork, Caroline Manzo says that production allowed the sexual assault to take place against her. The court docket is available online. You can read through it yourself. Don't think we've posted this on the stories, but yeah, it was pretty out there this week. Essentially, Caroline Manzo is saying that the women were incredibly intoxicated. They were intoxicated for most of the time. Brandi Glanville, at the direction of production, was making advances towards her. That throughout the trip, the other women were making comments about the size of her breasts, asking if they were real or fake. And it all culminated in this assault in one of the bathrooms against Caroline from Brandy. And the reminder of an earlier sexual assault that Caroline Manzo experienced, and that she had to continue filming post that event as well, before Brandy was sent away, but not before Brandy was also put back into situations with Caroline Manzo against her requests. So I don't know. There was a lot to dig into in these court filings. Interestingly, I think a few people have commented online that there's still no word from the Bravo camp. I guess a lack of a defense or a countersuit at this stage kind of maybe suggests that there is not much to go off. It is interesting that Caroline Manzo is suing production rather than Brandi Glanville. But it definitely pits the women who are on the trip in two camps. There is the Caroline Manzo and Eva from Real Housewives of Atlanta. They sort of seem to be one group, and a bit of Alex McCord as well. And then sort of Brandy and the rest of the group. One of like the funny things, I guess, in these court documents was the mention of Gretchen Rossi, and it referred to her as a Real Housewife of New York City. So I don't know. It was a bit of a weird one, I guess. Somebody didn't double check where she was from, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. Obviously, this is just the very beginning of a long process, and I think yet again the conversation turned to whether Ultimate Girls Trip 4 will ever be filmed, ever be aired, and I think that's becoming less and less likely, though. I think there are a lot of people who are obviously very curious about what's going on and want answers, and think that watching the show will provide that. But I don't think, obviously, Bravo is going to put themselves into that kind of jeopardy right now. And I think we can sort of consider that whole project shelved until this lawsuit is resolved either way. And even perhaps, even if it does get resolved, perhaps it will never make the silver screen. So I mean, I think it's dead in the water. I think we have to give up our dream of Morocco and seeing the return of housewives like Alex McCord, Gretchen Rossi, which would have been very interesting to have seen, obviously. Caroline Manzo too. I mean, it's been a very long time since she's been on a Real Housewives, and I think there's always been a lot of talk about her coming back to New Jersey, especially in sort of like a Teresa showdown sort of way. But that is obviously definitely not going to happen anytime soon. Hulu is releasing part two of The Housewives and The Hustler, which was the documentary movie that was, I guess it's now kind of a bit of a docuseries about Tom Girardi and the lawsuits against him. Part two focuses on Erica meeting some of the victims of the Girardi case law firm. So that has come out this week. I think there's some trailers available online of that as well. And one of the big talks at the moment is in Salt Lake City in memoriam. It wasn't on our screens this week. It was a very slow midweek for Housewives, but they are heading into production next month. They are sort of saying that there are two new Housewives replacing Monica. There's Maylee Workman and Brittany Bateman. Maylee is, they're calling her a bit of an MLM housewife. She's hawking some smart water or something. Online, in her link tree, if you go into her Instagram, she's got about four kids, a very sexy husband. And I believe she has a connection to Monica as well. So there's a bit of a suggestion that perhaps that's the way that they can bring Monica in as a friend of, as the season progresses, if so happens. And then Brittany Bateman, who is an actor, she's done some films. If you want to check out her IMDb, she has a page. So again, a very interesting add to the group. She has had films that have aired at Sundance, which of course is Lisa Bartlow's baby. So we can expect probably an introduction to Brittany through Lisa and this Sundance connection. And as a side word on the street, Lisa Bartlow is now sporting some bangs for the new season. A very different look for Miss Lisa Bartlow, baby gorgeous herself. So we've got Salt Lake City heading to production in the month of March. We've got OC, which is currently in production as well. And I believe there's another Housewives as well that's heading into production into March and April. As for upcoming Housewives, though, we have Dubai, which is rumored to be airing at the start of March, which means that we should be getting a trailer perhaps sometime in the next 2 weeks or so. And New Jersey, which is meant to be airing sort of like start to mid of April. And New York City is the other one that is heading into production in March. So a lot going on, a lot being filmed. Obviously, Ultimate Girls Trip off the table. So it'll be interesting to see how Bravo feels the gap that perhaps that Ultimate Girls Trip was meant to have filled. Obviously, they moved up the New York legacy Ultimate Girls Trip as a bit of a response to the success of New York City, but also the fact that they did lose the Morocco trip. So that's the word on the street, and I guess a bit of an extension on the word of the street this week, because I don't really want to delve into this week's episode of Beverly Hills. purely because I thought it was a bit of a nothing episode. There wasn't a lot going on. I mean, Crystal's having some health issues from the end of last episode into this one. And Sutton is organizing the trip. They're doing Spanish things like learning how to cook paella, going shopping. But there are a few things that I did want to touch on for Beverly Hills in terms of the reunion. So we have to give our flowers to Moshi, who did call the Beverly Hills reunion seating correctly last week. So looking left to right on the stage, we have Anne-Marie on the end of the couch. Then you have Dorito, Erica, and Kyle. Of course, Andy Cohen there in the middle, and to his left, our stage right, we have Sutton in the main seat, followed by Garcelle and then Crystal. But one of the interesting things that did come out of the reunion last week was, one, the fact that Kathy Hilton made a special appearance, which is obviously very interesting given the fact that she has not made an appearance at all so far this season, and I don't believe that she's going to. So a lot of questions there around why she's appearing and what that could be about. The other one was Denise Richards was seen getting glam ahead of the Beverly Hills reunion as well. So is this a bit of a stunt to bring these women onto the couches for something that has been a very lackluster season? Sutton's esophagus nowhere to be seen on the seating chart. So, you know, I think they've been stuck with some very boring storylines this season. But I will say, I think this episode and this trip to Spain more broadly is showing us sort of like that it is Sutton season. You know, she had the paella learning dinner this episode, and she brought her friends who live in Spain onto the show for a dinner party, and we got to learn a lot more about her, and also see a lot of her emotion around her father and other things are going on in her life. And of course her mentor Merce, who next episode we see in the preview for next week, something that called me back to Real Housewives of New York with Sonia, when she cremated her dog and tried to pour the dog into the river, and it just blew back up onto the pavement and onto the women. We see much the same happen with Merce and Sutton, which is very on brand for Miss Sunstruck. So I really, didn't think that Beverly Hills had a lot going on this week, but, you know, I'm looking forward to just wrapping this shit up and having it done and dusted and really finding out why Kathy showed up at the reunion. So that's the word on the street. I want to get into this week's episode of Real Housewives of Potomac and I guess a couple of the more recent episodes and give some of my like sort of like hot takes on things that I'm seeing right now. And I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed is it's really been a boring season. I think there's many people out there that would absolutely agree with that. But I think that the last couple of episodes have improved a little bit. It's been a bit more engaging to watch, which has been nice given that it has been so bad. We've kind of passed some of the sort of like cringy stuff now and sort of, you know, I think heading towards the end of the season too. Although the Potomac reunion hasn't not been filmed yet, but that must be coming up really soon because we definitely are sort of headed into the final episodes of this season shortly at this stage. I did read somewhere that the season was cut short. Usually I think it's about like 18 episodes or so, but I think they're only doing like a 15 episode season, but that's to be seen. One of the biggest things was Candace hosted a Mother's Day lunch. I think it was like last week's episode now. And there were two women who did not make it to the event, and they were Wendy and Robin. And I think, you know, this is one of the things that Moshi and I have discussed a fair bit, is when some of these housewives refuse to film and refuse to come along to certain events, it actually does not work in their favor. And I think this was a really good example of that. Wendy and Robin not being at the Mother's Day event gave the show a bit of breathing room, because this season Wendy's had a lot of drama with NECA, the new housewife on Potomac, and Robin is been having a lot of drama with Candace. So just to have them both removed from this Mother's Day lunch gave just a bit of levity to the event. It avoided conversations between these women who are feuding, which was really nice as well. Even I think like, it was just really nice. And the mums weren't there either. So obviously, Wendy's mum, who is, you know, allegedly gunning for NECA as well, isn't there to like, you know, stir up any trouble either. But it does make you sort of realize that these women aren't necessary for the show to move on, and that does not work in their favor. And as an extension of that, so Karen Huger, which I think this is one of like the one of the really good storylines of the season, has purchased her grandmother's home from her auntie Val, who we met on we've met her on the show before, but also on the spin-off of Karen Huger's family reunion. And the homestead is on the plantation that Karen's family, who were slaves, have taken ownership of, in a true sort of true story of sort of like, you know, emancipation and success of their black family. So it was really fantastic to see Karen take up this opportunity. She's planning to turn this into Surrey County's first hotel or Airbnb sort of situation. And she can only invite four women along because of insurance purposes. So she invites Candace, Wendy, and one other housewife who I can't remember. And then, I think it was Ashley. And then later on, she also invites Giselle, but Giselle rejects her invite, which again is a bit of a missed opportunity for Giselle to be bonding with this group of women, because she doesn't want to be in a Sprinter van for 4 hours with Wendy and Candace, because she's feuding with them. And so after that happens, Karen increases her insurance, and she manages to get enough to have all of the women come out and see the house and stay in the home or wherever they're doing. But because it is late notice, and I guess it's a second thought invitation, Robin and Mia also declined the invitation, as well as Giselle, of attending. And again, this is sort of like a missed opportunity, because, you know, less airtime just makes me not remember you and makes me realize that perhaps you're not that important to the show. But obviously Wendy and NECA are both going on this trip now, so that was always going to be really interesting to see. But I guess one of the hard things is that NECA is throwing olive branches at Wendy, and Wendy is just like not accepting at all. Wendy is refusing to sort of make any progress with NECA. She's not willing to do anything to repair the relationship, to even sort of be cordial. She's quite dismissive of NECA, which is really like hard to watch. And I think again, it's coming to the point where it's very clear that Wendy, it could be her last season. I think she's kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall and waiting to see what sticks. She's kind of got Eddie is, you know, working on his Happy Eddie marijuana line. She's trying to do this like talk show thing, which she's fired one bunch of producers. Now she's got another bunch of producers, and it's a bit of like a mishmash of different ideas of things that she wants to talk about on the show as well. It's kind of like nothing is really landing right now, and then she's sort of losing us over the NECA drama as well, where she just needs to sort of like accept an apology and move on, or make an apology and move on. And it's really hard to see. I have seen a few people, though, mention that just watching Wendy in her family interactions is that she is probably ripe for a spin-off, which I am not... I think it makes sense. I think Wendy has some interesting family dynamics. I think that it would be interesting to see some sort of, like, Happy Eddie spin-off, talking about her projects and all the rest of it that she's going on. But as I said, I think it's becoming very clear that when it comes to reunion time, she's not going to be anywhere near the front seat like she was a few seasons ago. And I think that her time is slowly reaching towards the end. And I think Potomac overall, like, there is a lot that needs to be revamped at this stage. I think that, unfortunately, NECA, you know, she's potentially a good addition to the show, but she just hasn't really had much of a chance to move beyond the Wendy storyline and the feud that she has with her. And it's making it really hard to sort of see where this show can move forward. We've got Giselle and Ashley launching an athleisure line. And again, I think it's becoming very clear that Ashley kind of, I think, is running out of ideas to remain relevant on the show as well. So I think, you know, looking ahead perhaps to a future season to avoid the fate of like a Dallas where all the women were kind of doing all their own thing, these women sort of need to regroup, and there needs to be some sort of big changes to the cast. 8 women on a cast is a lot, and it's not enough time in an episode to really dig in and get to know these women. It's giving something like Real Housewives of Cheshire, which, you know, there are a lot of women, not a lot of substance, but at least those women can get together and have a laugh, and that's at least a little bit entertaining. So, great episode, I think, from Potomac this week compared to perhaps some of the earlier season. I think the Karen Huger heading out to Surry County is always a huge hit. I mean, we'll get to see her family, her reverend, the home that her grandmother owned and Karen spent a lot of time in, Auntie Val. These are all really fantastic characters that we get to see yet again. And I think, yeah, Potomac, like, it's hard and the people are not happy, and we'll have to wait and see how the show can move forward from just a real lackluster season. But of course, I have to talk about the Real Housewives of Miami. It's the Miami Mummies. What an episode. What, like, a great trip it has been so far. I think we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week on the pod, but this trip to Mexico City, I think, has just been so interesting and different. As Alexia mentioned, you know, a lot of the times the housewives end up going on a trip to a location that's on an island or some sort of, like, you know, luxury villa or something like that. So to see them in Mexico City, I think is really exciting. I'm enjoying getting to learn a bit more about Mexico City as well. And obviously we're all leading up to Pride, which will be in next week's episode with Adriana performing. This episode in particular, though, this week's episode, I think, was extremely powerful for a few different reasons, positive and negative. And the first reason of that is the trip to the Church of the Guadalupe. In a season that's been full of drama between the women and a lot of tension between like Lassa and Gertie and Marisol and Julia, and there's just been a like fight after fight after fight. All of them visiting in this church except for Adriana, who's out sick, is a truly beautiful moment. We get to see this like bonding moment between Lassa and Gertie. We get a bit of Julia's onion as well, another layer of the onion, and her talking about the death of her child and her relationship with the church as well, and of course Alexia leaving her prayer and her candle with the letter from Frankie in the church as well. It was like a very powerful moment. I think it was a really beautiful moment of solidarity, and I think it's one of those times where you realize these shows, although it does bring us these clashes of personalities and the fights and drama and all the rest of it, it's also really beautiful when we do get to see these women all together and really bonding and being able to get past all of their issues for a bigger purpose. I think where it was really powerful in a positive way, it was also really powerful in a very negative way. And I think that is truly the downfall of Lisa Hochstein this season. I think we've all been rooting for Lisa in the divorce to Lenny, but it has started to become a bit tiresome, and the ladies are feeling this as well. But, you know, the constant talk about Lenny, and I guess her relationship, which is going really well with Jody, and the pressure that the divorce is putting on that relationship. But I think Lisa, you know, she's got the settlement that she needs to sign in this episode, but I think she's becoming really unlikable. There's nothing that I can find about her in this moment that I like about Lisa Hochstein, which is really disappointing. And even like her bestie Lassa is fed up with the drama. And the moment is this, you know, we've had the sprinter from hell, we've had the dinner parties from hell, and now we have a gondola ride from hell in Mexico City, and it just turns into this crazy event where Lisa is like completely unhinged. She kicks off a fight with Kiki. Kiki is holding her ground, and I think Kiki had a lot of valid points and a lot of really successful reads in confessional. You know, she spoke about how, because Lisa tries to feed some animals, some dogs that are on the banks of the river, which belong to the families that are living along the river, because they look hungry. And Kiki was very upset with the insinuations that Lisa's making about the lifestyles of the people who live there, given her own personal story in growing up in Haiti in a similar situation. And Lisa really just like, I don't know, takes it left, and Kiki holds her ground. And Lassa ends up calling out Lisa's bad behavior and really suggesting that, I mean, I think Lassa, as always, takes it a step too far, but, you know, says to Lisa that it is, you know, inappropriate for her to be acting that way, that also that she should be really thankful for having Jody in her life, because not a lot of people would be able to put up with the bullshit. And I think there's probably a lot of truth in what Lassa has to say. It's interesting, though, because we do have the Miami seating chart for the reunion, and Lassa and Lisa are sitting next to each other. So obviously their problems are resolved at some point soon, and it's obviously not that much of an issue between the two of them. But, Lisa is not enjoyable to watch. And I think, you know, beyond her divorce with Lenny, you know, she's got a few little projects that are going away too, but it's another one of those questions around sort of what longevity can she bring to the show in her own personal story. And I guess if you become so unlikable that nobody really cares to even see you win anymore. So a powerful episode in the way of, you know, the group coming together in the church and then it completely falling apart on this gondola. But Miami is continuing to deliver every single week. It's just fantastic TV. It's really not getting a lot of attention, I don't think. I think the fact that it airs on the same night as Beverly Hills, we tend to see a lot of like the memes and the tweets and the commentary to be coming out about Beverly Hills, and there's not really much about Miami. It's starting to get a little bit louder, but it's definitely not not where it needs to be, in my opinion. But I guess we'll have to see what happens next week. It's another episode in Mexico City. It's Pride. Adriana's performing. We got the cameo appearance again from Emilio Estefan through the I'm sure the staged FaceTime with Adriana on the gondola. This episode ended in chaos. We've got, like, Julia is having a meltdown. Lisa's ready to jump off the boat. Lars is picking fights with her bestie. It was truly... And Kiki's ready to bloody clap Lisa across the face. So we'll have to wait and see what happens next week, but it is truly one of the better Housewives. And I think in the wake of Salt Lake City... finishing up last week, Miami is now the one to watch out of the ones that are airing right now. But that leads me to the end of this week's episode. It was a short one. It's a quick catch-up to get some sort of, like, fresh thoughts of what's happening in the world of Housewives this week. Next week, Moshi will be back. We'll be shooting the shit. We'll be back to our regular programming. Prepare yourselves for the 3-hour episodes. We'll try to do it in less. But in the meantime, you can always follow us at From the Low Level Pod on the Instagrams. You can like, review, subscribe, leave a comment. Let us know what you're loving on Miami. Let us know how you're feeling about Potomac in the DMs. It's always great to hear from everyone. And we'll be back next week with more Housewives Love. Bye, baby gorgeous.